Gurave Namaha. So, without further ado, let's read the translation to this Vaishnava poem. He was he who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya God? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in his association, he performed his pastimes. Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of my great godbrother, Jayananda Prabhu. And before speaking about his life and different pastimes in his life, I want to mention one thing that was revealed to me by Jayananda and others, is that his passing away is very much reminiscent or very much parallels the passing away of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, of course, passed away before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed away, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the antyeshti, that means the funeral ceremony for Haridas Thakur. And the reason Haridas Thakur passed away before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not simply because he was older, and in fact he was quite older by external estimation, but the reason he passed away is because he prayed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that I do not want to see your final pastimes, your disappearance pastimes. So, of course, this is the mood of a great disciple or a great person who is devoted to someone else, that they cannot bear the separation of the person they're devoted to. And so, because of that prayer, Haridas Thakur passed away before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he passed away in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jayananda Prabhu basically had the same desire because of his great devotion to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. He prayed that he would not see the disappearance of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So he wanted to pass away before Srila Prabhupada passed away. So this is why he passed away on May 1st, 1977. One may say it was because he had leukemia, but actually that's simply external. And one shouldn't consider a Vaishnava from the external perspective. If one considers a Vaishnava from the external perspective, it considers a Vaishnava to be an ordinary person or the deity to be made of stone or wood or some material element. That person has hellish mentality, has a hellish mentality. So we should understand that everything that happened in the life of Jayananda Prabhu, was, you know, especially after he met his divine grace in the Prabhupada, was actually, you know, Krishna's arrangement. A devotee is not under the law of karma. Of course, a devotee does have to be aware of the material world and certain things that happen, because even though you're not under the law of karma, if you jump off the building, you will still get hurt in a specific way, regardless of your karma, regardless of Krishna's mercy. So, don't test Krishna in that way. So, as far as Jayananda's beginning in Krishna consciousness, he was quite educated. He had a degree in mechanical engineering from Ohio State University, and he ended up as a cab driver. Now, that may sound shocking. And of course, nowadays you have many people with PhDs driving cabs or driving Uber, as the saying goes. But Jayananda directly did not accept a job at the university or a job, let's say, working in mechanical engineering. He said, when he was asked about it, why he was driving a taxi, he said, "I didn't fit in with the upper class crowd." In other words, he was a very humble person and very introspective by nature. He described it many times that he wasn't happy at all before coming to Krishna consciousness. So finally in 1967, this is right when the Bay Area Center was opened up in San Francisco, the Hare Krishna Temple, he read an article about an Indian Swami who had come there. And of course that Swami was Srila Prabhupada. And he began to attend the Swami's lectures. So he was very, an unusual participant in Srila Prabhupada's lectures because he was the only one, wearing a tie and a jacket, and the only person who was, I don't know if any of you know what this word means, but straight. Probably you don't know what that means. That's from my generation. Straight means he was just over 30. Because we had this saying that don't trust anyone over 30. And straight meant, you know, how you had shorter hair, you didn't smoke marijuana, you didn't take LSD. I mean, that was very unusual in those days. So many mornings he was the only one attending Srila Prabhupada's lectures because the hippies generally didn't get up early. That was their nature. Because after they've been up all night taking LSD, generally don't get up early. So Srila Prabhupada was extremely fond of his new disciple, Jayananda. And he would invite him to his apartment sometimes, just privately to his apartment, and Prabhupada would actually just cook for him and keep feeding him prasadam. So he had a very intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada even from the very beginning. And Jayananda, being devoted to Prabhupada, donated to Srila Prabhupada his life savings of $5,000. Now later on, when Jayananda got $5,000 more, this is another $5,000, towards the end of his pastimes that was meant for his medical treatment, he actually donated that to Srila Prabhupada too. I mean, you can see his complete dedication. And in order to maintain the temple in Berkeley and also in San Francisco, he kept working as a cab driver. Now, some people may say, oh, that's mundane. But Prabhupada actually said that one who works in a factory and gives the results to Krishna is as good as a sannyasi, basically. Because why? He's renouncing the fruits of his work, and he's giving them to Krishna. So many times, devotees have this misconception of working what they call a, quote, what, karmi job. Is it maya or something like that? It's not. One has to be practical in this world in order to make a living, to support one's family, and one's family, supporting one's family is actually Krishna conscious activity, if the family is Krishna conscious, of course. So one shouldn't see that distinction because we're followers of Rupa Goswami's injunction of Yukta Vairagya. And Yukta Vairagya means to connect or accept things that can be used in Krishna's service, and as Rupa Goswami states, to accept everything favorable. I imagine Lord Chaitanya states, to accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable to devotional service. And if one rejects things that can be utilized in Krishna's service, such as working a job, and even Tamal Krishnamurti, she was working for Kodak, you know, just opening up the film canisters so they could be developed. And if one rejects these things, then that's called Phalgu Vairagya. Phalgu Vairagya basically means false renunciation. So Jayananda was showing us real renunciation in maintaining the temple there. So Jayananda was very, very attracted to all the different aspects of devotional service, especially the processes of hearing and chanting. In spite of working a job, he would get up every morning before 4 o'clock, chant all of his rounds, read and cook, do so much service. And he worshipped, it's described, of course this is famous, he worshipped prasadam. That even if some prasadam fell on the floor, he would just get down on his hands and knees and start licking it up from the floor because he understood that prasadam means not food, it means the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And wherever he went, he would make sure he took prasadam with him to distribute it, whether he went on a boga run or went with a chanting party downtown. He would always distribute prasadam. And this he considered to be like his weapon, you know, prasadam weapon. And when a new devotee came, not only did he give the new devotee prasadam, but he fed him so much that the devotee practically collapsed from eating prasadam. He had this famous quote that Prabhupada said, you should feed people up to the neck. And literally he did that. You know, there's one story about this devotee, Jambavan, who he gave this giant plate of prasadam to, and Jambavan was thinking, how can I eat it? And finally he was forced to eat it, and then he gave him a second giant plate of prasadam. And, you know, the poor guy didn't know what to do. And then another quote he had was, you should eat prasadam until you waddle like a duck. So, of course, that injunction is for new devotees. I mean, hopefully after 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the Hare Krishna movement, you're not waddling like a duck anymore, because if you do, there's that injunction that, you know, achahara prayasa japa japa nimagra, one should not collect too much or eat too much. And also, you know, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udupashta vegam, and also Prabhupada said, many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. So be careful about that. So Jayananda, of course, would honor large quantities of prasadam, even in the middle of the night. Of course, his favorite prasadam was peanut butter halava. And even in the middle of the night, he would honor this. And I remember that too. And he had, it's not that he ate prasadam and just rested like most of us do. You know, we eat prasadam and go, all right, time to go to sleep. But he would eat prasadam and work harder. I remember working with Jayananda for one night before a festival in San Diego. And I stayed with him in the kitchen until 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever it was. And I was so tired, I just collapsed after that. And when I woke up the next morning, he was still in the kitchen preparing for the festival. So he ate. Prabhupada said, you can eat like an elephant if you're going to work like an elephant. But if you eat like an elephant and you're going to work like a pigeon, don't do it. You'll get sick. So, and of course he loved kirtan. He was always going out on Harinam. And it's described, there's one description here that Kurunda said that after working for 10 hours straight, everybody was tired. Jayananda suddenly said, it's 10 to 7, let's all go to Arti. So everyone else was too tired to go to Arti. So he went to Arti and started bouncing around and dancing like anything. And most of all, he was attached to preaching, whether he was going on his incense runs or constructing the Rath Yatra carts. And he had so much faith in Krishna's name. His classes, I remember sitting for some of his classes, were very simple, not at all sophisticated. I mean, no quoting of Sanskrit verses. So many times we think, you know, the more Sanskrit verses you know, the more certificates you have, you know, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Siddhanta, whatever. The more certificates you have, the better preacher you are. But he was a fantastic preacher, and his classes were basically the same thing. You got to have faith in the holy name. That was his class. And, of course, he would illustrate that particular point and talk about Prabhupada, but basically it was, you got to have faith in the holy name. And he was, you know, very, very simple in that way. And Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is easy for those who are simple-hearted, not simple tongues, but simple-hearted like that. So if we're simple, and also in the Bible it says you have to become like a child to enter into the kingdom of God. So many times we become too sophisticated. Remembering Jayananda, we can see that someone who is not sophisticated at all achieved the supreme destination. He was remembering Krishna at the time of leaving this world. And Prabhupada actually said this in a letter to Jayananda, posthumous letter to Jayananda. And also he was so humble, another point is he was so humble, that he would be doing menial service. Of course, this is the quality of a devotee. A devotee never feels that he's too good to do a particular type of service. In fact, one of the main services he did in the temple was fixing the Sankirtan vehicles. So oftentimes, and I remember this too, I'd go to the temple and I'd ask where Jayananda was, and they point out the Sankirtan vehicle, and then be 2 feet sticking out underneath the Sankirtan vehicle, and that was Jayananda. And he was the temple president. And there's also that story that he would take out the garbage every day, being the temple president. And there's one story, one gentleman came to the temple, and he ran into Jayananda taking out the garbage. And he remarked later on, he said, "Wow, if your garbage men are like this, boy, you must have a really wonderful movement. Your people must be really advanced." But he didn't understand that the garbage man, the person taking out the garbage, was the most advanced person. And even when Jayananda was sick later on and he had leukemia, I was actually there in Los Angeles when he passed away. It was during the Mangalarati time. Practically speaking, right when the conch shell blew. Of course, the conch shell blowing is a sign of auspiciousness, a sign of victory. Like you see in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the different conch shells are blowing, the transcendental conch shells of Krishna, of course, and Arjuna. And it's a sign of victory. And Jayananda left his body right when the Mangalarati conch shell was blowing. And I remember being informed about that. I wasn't with him when he left his body, but I was, I guess, in the same building. Was the or right across the street in the temple. So Jayananda was extremely humble. He never took or never assumed a superior position to anyone. He would even consult with the younger, newer devotees, saying things like, here it says, like, "Bhakta Mike, what do you think about this?" And one time, Dhanavir Maharaj relates this particular story. One time someone came to Jayananda and started praising him. And Jayananda just ignored it, not thinking, "Oh, this guy is so nice because he's praising me." And actually, that injunction is that he who praises me is my enemy, he who chastises me is my friend. Actually, I have a lot of friends. So he turned to Dhanavir, who was not Dhanavir Maharaj at that time, but he said, "You know, if you've been around this movement a few years, people naturally offer you some respect." So he was just attributing the respect that he was getting to being in the movement. And actually, that's the devotee's mentality, that he gives the respect to his spiritual master. Someone praises him, he thinks, "Well, it's just my spiritual master's mercy." Lochan Prabhu, this is a statement from Lochan Prabhu, said, "It was difficult not to think of yourself as being better than him. If you had any reason to be puffed up, Jayananda would bring it out in you." And he would be reluctant to give classes or do arti. Instead, he could be found fixing the cars, cleaning the toilets, unplugging toilets, washing dishes, or taking out the trash. And that's a real devotee. Just someone who is interested in serving. Dasavan. Actually, that's mentioned by Pallad Maharaj, as far as how one gets trained in Krishna consciousness at the ashram of the spiritual master. He says, "Brahmachari guru kule vasandanta garoritam archiyan dasavan nichyo." Dasavan means to become full of service. And that's actually our position, just servants. Whatever role we're given in this lifetime, whether it is a high position like temple president or GVC or even guru, or God. No, no one's given the position of God. But whatever position we're given in this lifetime, we just see that's service to Krishna. We're just servants. You know, I'm serving by sitting in the high seat, or I'm serving by cleaning the toilets. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Because of manina, manadena. That we are offering all respects to others and being free, supposed to be free from all sense of false prestige. It's another instance of the humility. And his determination to chant his rounds. One day before the Rath Yatra, Jayananda was up with another devotee named Karandar, who was one of Prabhupada's best managers. And they came back at midnight after preparing for the Rath Yatra, and they couldn't find anywhere to go to sleep, so Karandar just collapsed in the sleeping bag on the floor in a little storage closet. And Jayananda, he just stayed awake, and he explained that he had some rounds of japa to chant to finish up his japa. Now, this is actually very interesting because I was just listening to a remembrance that Nanda Kumar was giving. It was on the internet. It was a very nice class. And he was saying that one day, just one day, while he was serving Prabhupada, that he couldn't finish his rounds and was going to make them up for the next day. And then Prabhupada somehow or other knew that. He just had like two rounds left. And Prabhupada, the next morning, called him in his room and he said, "Are you chanting your rounds every day?" You know, it's the first time Prabhupada asked him that question. And then he admitted, "Well, yesterday I left two rounds over that I'm going to finish today." And Prabhupada chastised him for that. He said, "You have to finish your rounds every day." Of course, we understand if something happens. Prabhupada said, "You do make up your rounds the next day, and you don't eat before you made up your rounds from the previous day." That's Prabhupada's instruction. Because Prabhupada said, as long as we chant our rounds, then even if we stumble a little bit in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will always pick us up. Prabhupada gave the example of a mother who holds the hand of her child. That as long as the child and the mother, they're holding hands, the child may actually slip or stumble a little, but he'll be always picked up. And so if we always chant our rounds, we're like always holding Krishna's hand like that. And even if we stumble a little bit, Krishna picks us up. But if we don't, then, you know, we may get picked up, but it may take a few lifetimes to get picked up. So we have to be really strict about finishing our minimum 16, Prabhupada said minimum 16 rounds. Minimum 16 rounds a day. So he didn't want to take, Jayananda didn't want to take any posts. At one point he was temple president, an acting temple president. But really, he always wanted to serve others. Whatever assignment he was given, he would always finish it up. He was working later in the later years with the Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party, and he helped to manage and sustain the bus and took care of all the brahmacharis and went out in Sankirtan with all of them, even though most of them were half his age. Like, he was over 30 when he joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And devotees would often describe him as the most advanced devotee in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. In other words, no position, no prestige, just humbly serving, and he was described as the most advanced devotee. In fact, actually, that's what Tamal Krishnamurti said about him, that he was the most advanced devotee. He was completely free from any type of fault-finding. No matter who would give class or whatever, he would always appreciate it. He never spoke harsh words or chastised anyone. If one devotee was criticizing another devotee and Jayananda overheard it, he would just walk away and leave that particular situation. Of course, that's the Vedic injunction. He was always positive. But he always understood how to pick the right man, as described here, to do the right service. He was expert at fanning the little spark of devotion of someone just started Krishna consciousness and turned it into a big fire. And he made more devotees and pulled more devotees through than anyone else in the Krishna consciousness movement in a very humble way, and never took any claim for it or never got praise for it. He was like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, you know, dhira adhira janapriyo. That he was dear to both the ruffians, that's an interesting word, and to those who were actually pious or those who were devotees. And even the drunks, they loved him. It's described that a devotee was approached by a drunk one time in San Francisco, and the drunk asked him, "Hey, where's my old friend, Jayananda?" So they all considered Jayananda to be their friends. And, of course, there's that one story while they were constructing the Rath Yatra, Jayananda invited another devotee named Keshava into a bar to meet some of his friends. So they walked into the bar, and 25 people were at the bar, you know, drinking, which is what they usually do at the bar. It's not the legal bar, you know, the lawyers. So, and they said, oh, he introduced Keshava, who was the temple president in Berkeley at that time. they said, oh, this must be your friend. You were telling us about the temple president. And then they gave the devotees sacks and sacks and sacks of prasadam, of vegetarian groceries, for the Rath Yatra. And they all chipped in together to buy that. That's how much they love Jayananda, just like people getting drunk in the bar. And Kurinder said, when you were around Jayananda, you had no problems. Pretty good. So he'd keep the devotees awake when he was taking long drives on traveling Sankirtan by giving them prasadam. And he would wake the devotees up sometimes in the middle of the night and say, wake up, I have something for you. And he'd shove a big samosa or some sweet into the devotee's mouth. Pretty amazing. Anyway, so he can engage everybody in Krishna consciousness to do his Rath Yatra. Make his Rath Yatra cards, he engaged and described cynics, bloopers, uncooperative personalities, and non-devotees. And many of the people who were helping with the construction of the Rath Yatra carts sat down for a smoke during the breaks. And he got them to work 10, 12, 14 hours a day. He was always glorifying others, and he worked harder than anyone else, and he was very inspiring to work with. That's interesting. There's an interesting story that Maharaj Das spoke about. Once he was loading a heavy refrigerator in a truck, and two drunks were walking up the alley, and Jayananda said, I'm going to give them a chance to do some devotional service. And he got the drunks to help, and the job was done in no time. And Jayananda said to the drunks, now say Hari, now say Krishna, now say Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Jai Hari Bol. Thank you, fellas. All glories to Prabhupada. Like they understood what he was saying. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And he was extremely frugal. He would make sure for the Rath Yatra and for other festivals that he would get everything donated. Boga, flowers, lumber, paint, everything donated. And there was one famous friend he had at the produce market. His name was Banana King Louie. So whenever he went there, he would come back with four free truckloads of bananas and first-class pineapples, donated milk products. And so the devotees were in ecstasy. They were eating bananas, pineapples, and cream, all for free. And even got the printing, mimeographing, and everything for the publicity for free, and the sound equipment. And he was so frugal that even after the Rath Yatra, he returned the truck in the middle of the night to make sure he didn't have to pay another $50 rent for the truck that they were using for Rath Yatra. And he would dress in old dhotis, and he'd buy his clothes at the Salvation Army thrift store. And of course, he was the one who was the main person behind the Rath Yatras, practically speaking, all over the world, but at least in America and of course, New York, San Francisco. His final Rath Yatra was in 1976. And during that time, he could hardly move because he was on a wheelchair, but somehow or other he was out there helping or guiding the devotees to construct the carts and getting the Rath Yatra ready. Jayananda kept a very low profile with Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was always appreciative of Jayananda. There's one interesting letter here. In 1975, I was very happy to get your letter. I'm always thinking of you and praying to Krishna for your advancement in Krishna consciousness. Yes, I remember the old days, Prabhupada's words in San Francisco. Krishna has been so kind upon me to have sent so many sincere disciples to help me push on this movement on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. You continue with your program there in San Francisco and always keep strictly our principles, and Krishna will bless you with greater and greater realization of the importance of the movement. I am depending upon you, my older disciples, to carry on. I hope this meets you well. Mm-hmm. So his final meeting with Srila Prabhupada was in New York at the 1976 Rath Yatra. And Jayananda was driving the car, and Prabhupada asked, who is driving? The devotee said, this is Jayananda. And Prabhupada said, oh, I know Jayananda. He gave me $5,000 to print my Bhagavad Gita. So it was very important for the first printing of the Bhagavad Gita. Let's have much more time. So at the end, Jayananda used to sit on the lawn in his wheelchair in Los Angeles. He could not stop thinking and talking about Rath Yatra. Karenda remembers him looking at him from his desk. Jayananda was there, the epitome of Krishna consciousness and fearless of death. And anyway, he was completely Krishna conscious. Let's see, Prabhupada said, just to conclude, Prabhupada was able to confirm Jayananda's exalted position. He said, everyone should follow the example of Jayananda. Certainly those who knew Jayananda should take it upon themselves to preach about his qualities of humility, eagerness to serve, equanimity, and devotion to Krishna and Prabhupada. We offer our humble obeisances to all such devotees who understand these qualities and try to share them. We offer our humble obeisances unto his divine grace to the Prabhupada and to Srimad Jayananda Prabhu, the exemplary teacher of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So anyone have any questions? We have 1 minute left. Yes?
Yeah. I know it seems to me that Srila Prabhupada, and maybe perhaps even yourself, have seen him as a good soul, someone who was a very good bona fide Vaishnava. But I personally, unfortunately, have never met him.
Yeah.
But what I see after what you have mentioned, to me, he seems like a very good teacher.
Yes. I mean, we can associate with these great devotees by sound vibration. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. So by hearing about their pastimes, and of course I'd love to hear about Srila Prabhupada's pastimes and the pastimes of other great devotees, then those devotees become manifest. Just like we have the pictures of Krishna, the pictures of the spiritual master, Krishna is manifest, the spiritual master is manifest in the pictures. So what to speak of the sound vibration? And through the sound vibration, Lord Kapiladeva says that these personalities can enter into our hearts. Bhavanti Ritkarna Vrasayana Kata to Joshana Dashu Apavarga Vartmani Shuddha Ritira Bhakti Nukramishati. So we can actually perceive the presence of these pure devotees like Jayananda, Srila Prabhupada, of course, all of our acharyas, by hearing about them and hearing from them.
You taught by example.
Yes. Yeah, example. But we hear about their example and we become inspired. That's why it's important to hear about the Vaishnavas so we know how to be a Vaishnava. If we don't have the example of Vaishnavas, how do we know what it means to be a Vaishnava? Right? Otherwise, it's very theoretical. Okay. On that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.